way, the truth, and the life. Pastor Andrew started our worship this morning by saying, we are here. Jesus is the reason why we are all here. We are here because of Jesus. We want to lift the name of Jesus and worship Him. And the reason why some of us are here, if not all, came to know Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, because somebody took the time and effort to share to us the good news about Jesus. But can you imagine, even in this city alone, while we're enjoying fellowship, the fellowship that we have here, while enjoying the presence of God, there's thousands and thousands of people outside who still don't know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. God is calling us. And God is saying, follow me, and you'll see what I can do in you and through you. There's an inscription on a highway billboard in a small Minnesota town in the U.S. which reads, on September 1st, 1894, a forest fire swept over this area and 450 people lost their lives. As people read this sign, they cannot help asking themselves, what do you suppose started the fire? Along the highways throughout the national forest in the U.S. and Canada, we see signs urging tourists to be careful with fires. Each has a stern warning that a single match or spark carelessly thrown away can start a big fire. And you know what will happen? We know what happened when there's a forest fire. It's so devastating. Listen, one match or spark seems insignificant, but think of its tremendous potential. One Christian can be a radiant witness for his master if he will only resolve to do so and dedicate his life to soul winning. One witness. One witness. Abel Simpson, our founder, the founder of Christian Missionary Alliance Church, of American Christian Missionary Alliance, said, I cannot understand how many men or women can believe in the Lord's coming and not be missionary, or at least committed to the work of missions with every power of his being. He cannot believe that there are Christians who believe that if you die without Jesus, you'll be separated eternally from God, and yet they don't even share it to other people. Again, we've heard last Sunday that billions of people have still not heard the good news of Jesus Christ. So what urged Apostle Paul, the missionaries in the field, and the people or person who shared to you the good news of Jesus Christ? First, it's because of their love for God and love for the people. There's a saying that says you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When you love someone, you just cannot help it but give and give and give. Just like God, when God said, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a giving God, a generous, loving God who gave us what we need to be saved because of his great love to us. Jesus gave his whole life for us. He willingly obeyed God the Father. What about you? What are you willing to give to God? Especially after hearing the reports that, you know, we praise God that there's billions of people right now who are worshiping Jesus, but still there's 3 billion people who still have not heard the name of Jesus. The scripture tells us, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Brothers and sisters, action speaks louder than words. So what is your maximum impact for God as Christ's ambassador in the place where God had placed you, where you work, where you live? Do they see Jesus in your life, at work or at home, or wherever you are in whatever you're doing? Do they see Christ in you? When we started the Monday nights men's Bible study, you know, I'm so grateful because like in the first day, there's 35 people who came. And actually, there's an average of 30 men who will regularly attend the Monday night studies. We're studying the authentic manhood. And I shared with the guys that my prayer is that God's light will shine brightly in our lives as men, starting in our home, that our spouses and children will see Christ in us. But I said, I have a confession to make. I shared to the men, the one time, my wife told me and asked me, she said, Joel, could you treat me as one of the church members, not as your spouse? And I asked her why. Because she said, but you know what? When you're in the church, you're one of the nicest guy you will ever see. But when you're at home, there's like a complete transformation. And I told her, you know why I'm like that? Because when I'm in the church, when I'm with God's people, you know, I try to be the man that God would like me to be. When I'm at home, I'm tired. And you will see the real me. But then again, I realized that she's right. I can't be different when I'm in the church and different when I'm at home. So I challenged the men. I said, my goal and my prayer and heart's desire is that our spouses, our children, will see Jesus in us at home. That we will be a light in our home. That our spouses will praise God because they can see Christ in you, in us. Brothers and sisters, the best argument for Christianity is a consistent Christian life. There is no argument against the silent eloquence of holiness. It is not merely what we say or what we do, but what we are and who we are in Christ, that matters. That is the witness that is very convincing. The greatest thing about us as followers of Jesus Christ is often our unconscious influence or impact to others. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says that the light also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Manifest means that the life of Christ might be brilliantly seen in our lives. Listen, we can accomplish more by our radiations than by our exhortations. And people around us are watching us, our every move. Our lives must show the love of God in our everyday lives. I'll even tell myself that those people who don't know God, who don't even read the Bible, our lives are an open Bible for others to see. Our lives. When they look at you, when they look at me, they should be able to see Christ. Because in 2 Corinthians it says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent Jesus Christ wherever we are, whatever we do. Even when there's people watching us or not. In the Bible times, the word ambassador had little to do with politics. Rather, it carried the meaning of personal messenger, one sent on a special mission. And what's our mission? Before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he commanded his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he promised, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. I really like what John Piper said in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad. He said that missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. It's not the ultimate goal. Worship is. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal of missions. Missions begins and ends in worship. We worship Jesus because we love Him, and our love for God must motivate us to share Jesus to others, because God's love compels us to go and make disciples of all nations. Rick Warren, in his book, maybe some of you have read this, The Purpose-Driven Life, he said that God's goal for us is not to become gods ourselves, but to become godly, taking the values, attitudes, and character of God, whether there's people watching us or not, for we know that God sees everything we do. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. He wants you to grow up spiritually and become like Christ. Becoming like Christ does not mean losing your personality or become a mindless clone. God created your uniqueness, so He certainly doesn't want to destroy it. Christ's likeness is all about transforming your character, not your personality. God would like to change us, to transform us, and make us the person that God would like us to be, so we can represent Him well as His ambassadors. We carry the image of Christ wherever we go. Now the question is, how's our character towards the people we work with, we live with, we play with? Do we exemplify the character of Jesus? Secondly, obey God's command. How can you obey God's command if you will not spend time reading His word, or if you don't know His commandments? Again, when Jesus, before He ascended, He said, go and make disciples, but He emphasized, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So how can you teach people? How can you tell the love of Jesus if you yourselves don't even spend time with Jesus? And if you'll back in the book of Acts, it all started from a handful of men and women, a group numbering about 125, according to Acts 1:15. Today, there are billions of people who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. But there's still billions. Dan reminded us last week that there are still billions of people around the world who still haven't heard the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, people around the world are dying without hearing the word of God. And again, I always read this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And thirdly, believe that God has a plan for you. You and me. When you realize that God had placed you in a strategic place where you are right now, so that the people around you will also have the same joy, peace, and assurance of salvation, only then you will know why you exist on earth. Remember, all of us have a story to tell to the nations. I really love that hymn. We have a story to tell to the nations. I guess it's only the... I better stop. But listen, God is giving all of us the opportunity to represent Him, to be His mouthpiece, to be His ambassadors. And God did not send His angels to tell the world that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's giving you and I, ordinary as we are, the opportunity to represent Him. And we can only represent Him first, again, you have to love God and love the people around us. Loving God means spending time with Him, reading His word, giving even our resources. One song says, you know, what can we give that you have not given? God has given us everything that we need. And God is simply asking you, I want you to be a witness where you are right now for my glory and for my honor. God, A.B. Simpson said, God is not looking for extraordinary characters as his instruments, but he is looking for humble instruments through whom he can be honored throughout the ages. In Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us play our part nobly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brothers and sisters, God is calling all of us to be his mouthpiece so that people will know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God is using ordinary people like you and I, like Ray and Cindy, like Dan and Melody, like Andy and Janet, ordinary people to let the whole world know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll say another song. Maybe you remember this. Just Ordinary People. Do you know the song? No? 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 Oh, really? I must be old then. The song goes like this. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you who are willing to do as he commands. He chooses people who will give them all. No matter how small they all may seem to you. Because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hands. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.